The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show.
Welcome now to our show. Here's a friend you all know. Charlotte Greenwood is with us again.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Charlotte Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, to remind you that every time you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Like the word sterling on silver, those words, a Hallmark card, mean finest quality. Mean that you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And here is our star, that lovable lady of stage and screen, Charlotte Greenwood. It's 8:30 of a weekday morning as our story opens, and the scene is the office of Lakeview's leading legal light, Judge Cronin. Charlotte's called to see him on important business, but the judge has not yet arrived, so while she waits, Charlotte's making a regular phone call to her manager, Roger Humphrey, in Hollywood. She's saying...
Roger, for heaven's sake, will you please send me some of my money? I'm so flat you could play me on a phonograph. No, Roger, I'm not just financially embarrassed. I'm positively shy. Right now, I've got one nickel in my purse. It's so lonely, the Indian is sitting on the buffalo singing, "Don't fence me in." Come on, Roger. I hired you to handle my money, not to fondle it. Honestly, Roger, I need it. This morning, for instance, I'm going shopping with Barbara Barton. She's getting a new outfit, and I'd like to buy her something pretty. But with a nickel, all I can buy her is a shoestring. No, Roger, I don't want to put all my money on her back. Evening dresses aren't built that way. But she does want something that shows a little style and a lot of Barbara. You know what I mean? Something that will make her look slim and the boys look round. Oh, please, Roger. I really need the money. Money makes the world go round. I just want to be a little dizzy. I said I want to be a little dizzy. What do you mean I am already? Hello? Hello, Roger? Hello? Oh, whoever started that saying about the dog in the manger must have meant manager.
Well, 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 Miss Greenwood.
Well, I hope you don't mind, Judge Cronin, if your secretary said I could use the phone.
I hope that wasn't your usual call to California.
Uh-huh, but don't be concerned. As usual, I reverse the charges.
Oh, I see. Well, that's good. My goodness, you're up early this morning.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure to catch you.
Yes, the early bird catches the worm. I mean, no, I'd like to retract that. I mean, early to bed and early to rise.
You'll seldom see any of your friends.
Precisely. I was just about to say something very similar to that myself.
Judge, you're clever. How do you think of such smart things?
Well, it's simply a gift, that's all. Sit down, Miss Greenwood, sit down.
Well, I'm in a bit of a hurry. Barbara's waiting down in the drugstore. We came downtown to do some shopping.
Oh, bother. Do you always have to be shopping? Isn't there any time when you come downtown not to get some butter or something?
No, of course. This morning I came downtown not to get some bacon. It was yesterday I came downtown not to get any butter.
Well, it seems to be... Would you mind repeating what you just said?
Look, Judge, I really am in a hurry, and I want your advice about the health situation. The lunchroom is doing marvelously, but I really have got to have assistance.
Uh-huh. I knew it. So now you've run into the man problem.
What do you mean, now? I ran into that years ago.
Oh, I mean the manpower problem.
Now, I've got to have help. I'm staying up half the night making sandwiches for the next day, and I don't mean Texas sandwiches.
Texas sandwiches?
Uh-huh. Two pieces of bread with nothing in between but wide open spaces.
Well, Miss Greenwood, you know the health situation here in Lakeview is a problem. In fact, you're going to meet a good many problems you can't cope with. I still think you should sell the sandwich shop.
Sell it? That shop is going to put the Barton children through school, give them a start in the world. It's the only income they have.
Yes, I know, but... Well, it's too bad Mr. Barton lost all he had. He was a man that everybody loved.
Well, if everybody loved him, he had something he could never lose.
Not true. You know, that painting on the wall there is a gift from him. He bought it in Europe during the early months of the First World War. He sent it to me from London at Christmas time.
My, it's a powerful subject.
Yes, it is. Every time I look at it, it makes me feel how insignificant I am.
You mean Mr. Barton sent it all the way from London just to prove a little thing like that?
Well, yes, what did you say? Yes, come in.
Oh, hello there, Miss Greenwood.
Hi, Junior.
Say, Judge Cronin, yes? I brought this telegraph that was delivered to the apartment house for you.
Oh, yes, thank you.
I fell off my bicycle coming over.
Excuse me, Miss Greenwood. I must attend to this at once. Here, boy, here's something for your trouble. I'll see you later, Miss Greenwood.
How do you like that? All the way over here for a nickel, you old miser. Always trying to save money.
Anybody that saves money these days isn't a miser. He's a magician.
Yeah. Well, I'm quitting my job at the apartment house and hitting the open road anyway.
No.
After all, I'm a gypsy at heart. I got the forests and rocks and hills into my skin.
Well, don't they make you feel a little bumpy?
Huh? Oh, bumpy. You'll come back faster than a bad chick, don't you?
Junior, how about going to work at the lunchroom?
No, sirree. Don't fence me in. No, sir. Adventure's calling me, Miss Greenwood, and I'm off to the seven seas.
Oh.
When does the job start?
Well, I tell you what, Junior. Drop in at the house on Sunday, and we'll talk about it. I have to go now.
Yes, well,
Barbara and I are going shopping for an evening gown. Nice things are so expensive and so scarce.
Yes. Well, I hope you can find something at a modest price.
Well, if it's like most evening gowns, that'll be the only modest thing about it. I'll ask her, Barbara. How much is the evening dress, miss?
It's one of the most reasonable in the store. Only $49.95.
Oh, dear. Practically $50.
Well, it's the last one of this model in stock. But perhaps Mr. Jerome would reduce it a little if you're willing to pay cash. You know money talks.
The money we have left can hardly whisper.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, couldn't we cut a few corners, make it up some other way? It's so lovely.
I wish we could, Barbara. I've cut so many corners already, I'm getting so I walk on the bias.
I'd be willing to give up some of the other things.
Well, darling, you have to have school clothes. You couldn't get along with any less, but you could get along without an evening dress.
May I look at it again?
Oh, certainly. I think it was simply made for you.
Oh, it's beautiful. If Mr. Jerome would reduce the price, how much do you think he'd come down?
Well, possibly to $45. Of course, I couldn't promise.
Oh, well, Charlotte, $45 isn't so much.
Well, our lunchroom would have to sell a lot of sandwiches to clear $45. I'll see if I can make over one of your old evening dresses.
Then you mean that will be all?
Yes. Just hold the other things and I'll call for them on Monday. Oh, I gave you the deposit, didn't I?
Yes, I have it right here. I'll bring you a receipt.
Was it necessary to tell her I'd be wearing a made-over dress? What kind of a person will she think I am?
I wouldn't worry too much about that. What matters a lot more is what kind of a person do you think you are?
But letting her know we keep a lunchroom.
Well, haven't you got that backwards? It's the lunchroom that keeps us.
Just the same, you don't need to tell everybody we meet. Maybe we aren't rich anymore. But there's no harm in pretending to be.
Well, pretending to be rich is what keeps a great many people poor. As for the lunchroom, remember, you're a part owner.
Well, at least I don't work there. That's something to be glad about. I don't have to earn my living at it.
Barbara, people do a lot of things they should be ashamed of, but earning their own living isn't one of them.
Oh, that's all right for you to say. A person with plenty of money can afford to be sentimental about honest poverty. All this is an experience for you. And when it becomes too much trouble, you can just run off to Hollywood.
Hollywood? I never knew of anyone who got away from trouble by running off to Hollywood. any other place.
You're not fooling me. Of course you'll go back.
Now, Barbara, that's being rude.
Well, I don't care. I've got to stay here and take it. Get along with what I just have to have. Never getting anything I really want. Maybe you think that kind of life is fun, but I don't.
Here's your receipt, Miss Greenwood, and we'll hold the order for you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Oh, miss, I've changed my mind. Put in the evening dress along with the other things.
Oh, then you've decided to take it.
Shh. Yes, thank you. Now, come along, Barbara. We've got to hurry now. We must get back to the lunchroom.
Mr. Anderson.
I see you're working the night shift again.
Do you know what time it is? After 11 o'clock.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Quiet. 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 You know Mr. Anderson.
Isn't that Bobby Barton's dog?
Yes, when I work late at night, I bring him along for protection. He's a wonderful watchdog. All you have to do is wake him up and he barks like everything.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Well, as I live and breathe, fresh sandwiches.
Fries?
Well, I must say, Charlotte, you get up sandwiches better than anybody I've ever known.
Well, thank you, Mr. Anderson. You get them down better than anybody I've ever known.
I think I'll just sample one, if you don't mind. Good. No, you shouldn't let that mutt hang around here, Charlotte. He's liable to scare certain people away.
That's what I was hoping.
let me see. Next, I think I'll try one of these egg sandwiches. No, I guess I won't. Think I'll. I think I'll try a cheese. What's the matter with that dog? Why does he keep looking at me that way? He makes me self-conscious.
Well, you see, he's part bloodhound and part puzzled.
What are you talking about? Bloodhound and puzzled? What's he puzzled about?
Well, so far, you've had two sandwiches, and neither he nor I have picked up a cent.
Cent? Oh, cent!
Oh, no!
Charlotte, I'm hurt. I'm deeply hurt. I'm going straight home. Just as soon as I try one of these ham sandwiches. And you better let me take you home, too.
Oh, no, don't bother waiting for me. I still have 15 or 20 minutes work to do yet.
Seriously, Charlotte, why do you want to mess with all this anyway?
With all what?
Oh, the Barton estate and the kids in this lunchroom. Here you are putting in 12 and 13 hours a day. And to top off that, taking charge of a rundown house and three kids who don't even care enough to help.
I think the children do care in their own way.
Oh, yeah? Barbara Barton, for example. A fine snob if I ever saw one. Charlotte, why don't you go back to Hollywood and forget about it?
No, I went into this with my eyes open, and I'm going to see it through.
Well, you'll never do it, Charlotte. It's too big a job. Oh, I'll give you credit. You've done well so far. But mark my words. Sooner or later, you're going to run smack into a problem that you can't solve. Dog, away from me. Call him off.
Flash. Down, boy. Flash. Now, you go over there and lie down.
Yeah.
No back talk. I'm dreadfully sorry, Mr.
Milton.
Mr. Milton.
Yes.
I can't understand it. He never acted that way before.
Oh, it's easily explained. This is the lunchroom, and he thought Mr. Milton had dropped in to get a bite.
Is there something that I can do for you, Mr. Milton?
Yes, you can tell your friend I'm in no mood for bad jokes.
Now, wait a minute.
And you can tell me where I can find the proprietor, Mrs. Greenwood. I've been trying to get in touch with her all day.
Well, I am the proprietor, but it isn't Mrs. Greenwood. It's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. Now, if I can help you...
You certainly can. You can move this store off my property.
Your property?
That's what I said. I own the lot next door, and this building extends on it by 4 feet.
Well, I don't see how it could, Mr. Milton. This store has been here for a long time.
And my lot's been there for a great deal longer. In fact, I purchased the 4 feet from Mr. Barton himself when this store consisted of one room.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Just this.
When the store was remodeled, somebody very conveniently forgot about it and built on my property.
But, Mr. Milton, the store was remodeled 6 or 7 years ago. Aren't you a little late in finding out about all this?
I've been away from Lakeview for 8 years. I'm in business in Mound City.
But it's impossible to move this building. The property on the other side belongs to the school. Where could we move it?
That's your concern, not mine. But I'm giving you notice right now. Get this store off my lot. Everyone loves a Valentine. Sweethearts, youngsters, mothers, dads, husbands, and wives. Even Grandma probably has a faded, precious Valentine tucked away among her treasures. Yes, for people of all ages, there's a glow of pleasure in receiving Valentine, in being remembered on Valentine's Day. And when that day comes this February 14th, your Valentine messages can warm the heart, bring a smile to friends and loved ones at a time when it's needed most in wartime. So make it a point this week to see the scores of fine original Valentine cards at your Hallmark dealers. You'll like the tender little verse that tells Mother she's always your sweetheart, or Dad that he's still your first love. You'll like the clever, humorous Valentines for friends and every member of the family. And the cutout cards, you'll want dozens for the youngsters to take to school. You'll even see special cards for Valentine birthdays. And of course, many, many beautiful sweetheart Valentines meant for that very special someone you love. Yes, at your Hallmark dealers, you'll find Valentines that say just what you want to say the way you want to say it. Choose them this week. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. Don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Now to resume our story, the lunchroom, which seemed to be a turning point in the Barton fortunes, has suddenly become a problem. For according to Mr. Milton, owner of the adjoining lot, the building encroaches on his property. At the old Barton mansion on Sunday afternoon.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. Come in.
Oh, thank you, Charlotte. Say, did Barbara give you Judge Cronin's phone message?
Yes, she did, yesterday afternoon.
Then you know that the maps at the City Hall show that the store is not on Milton's property, and there's no record of Mr. Barton having sold 4 feet to him or anybody else.
Then why on earth would Mr. Milton make a crazy claim like that?
Well, first, because he's heard that the store is starting to make money. And second, you're a woman, and he figures he can bluff you out. His next move will be to suggest some kind of reasonable settlement. Well, then's when he'll have to deal with me.
Mr. Anderson, I don't know how I could possibly get along without your help.
Yeah? Well, I know that, John. Yeah, but think nothing of it. I don't want to appear a conceited sort of man.
What other sort is there?
Hey, now, look. Oh, well, I apparently got here just in time.
Well, if it isn't Junior.
Hiya, Miss Greenwood.
So what do you want, Junior?
I've got some business to talk with Miss Greenwood.
Huh? Yes, yeah. Junior's going to work full-time at the lunchroom. We need a good man.
Yeah, you picked the right fella.
Mm-hmm. We need help badly.
Oh, you need help bad, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I might as well ask for twice as much as I figured to.
Oh, now that's outrageous, Junior. I won't pay it.
Yeah, hold on. He didn't say how much it was.
Well, I'll tell you what you're worth, Junior. And if you ask me, you're not even worth that.
Worth what? He didn't say what it was.
I can't afford to work for what I'm worth.
Well, you could if you'd saved. You could save half of what you make.
Yes, but I won't be making that much.
Well, somebody... He didn't
and
say
don't
what
forget,
he...
there's your manpower shortage.
Forget it. How could I? I'm looking right at it.
And what's more, I gotta have half. I gotta have time and a half the time, and half the time have half time off. That is for 40-hour week.
Well, you sleep 8 hours a day, and there's 7 days in the week. That's 8 times 7 is 56. Out of the 40 hours you work, you get 56 hours off.
That's impossible.
Yes, I see. Then I'm practically being hired to stay away from the job.
Now we're getting somewhere.
What? Well, then I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make a dicker.
Mm-hmm.
I'll forget half of my salary.
Well, fine. There's nothing small about me. I'll forget the other half.
All right. Then it's all settled. I'll see you at the store tomorrow. Toodaloo, Miss Greenwood.
So long, Junior.
Would you mind telling me what that was all about?
Can't you see it makes Junior feel important to talk business with him? So I do.
I give up.
Sometimes, Mr. Anderson, I wonder if you're as smart as you really are.
Oh, that's Junior probably coming back now to hit you for a raise.
Miss Greenwood.
Oh, Judge Cronin.
Oh, hello, Cronin.
Miss Greenwood, I just passed Junior out there, and he accused me of being a tightwad.
He did. Well, yes. I must speak to him about that.
Yeah, it's none of his business what Cronin is.
No. Now, boys. Let's not start bickering. Now, Mr. Milton is due here any minute.
Very well. Then Anderson had better learn to hold his tongue. Remember the old expression. Woe to the... woe to the... I forgot what comes after woe.
Get up.
Woe
to the man who speaks in haste, for he shall repent at leisure.
Oh, Mr. Anderson, you really have the gift of eloquence.
Well, I hope it's a gift of... If he paid anything for it, he was cheated.
Well, thank you, Judge.
Huh? Yes.
You see that? He's the one that starts these.
I do not.
Oh, yes. Now, keep your tempers. Now, can't you keep your tempers at least for a minute?
Oh, now, Charlotte, that isn't temper. That's temperament.
There's a difference.
Yes, I know. Temperament is temper that's too old to spank.
Yes. He cheated me.
There, I knew we'd never get this talk over before Mr. Milton arrived.
Well, there's nothing to talk over. The fellow's a plain chiseler. All we need to do is throw him off.
We'd better let him in first.
Good afternoon, Miss Greenwood.
Oh, come in, Mr. Milton.
Thank you.
This is Judge Cronin and Mr. Anderson. You've already met.
Gentlemen.
How do you do?
I've been looking forward to seeing you again, Mr. Milton. Oh, how I've been looking forward to seeing you again.
In the matter of that encroachment on my property...
Uh-huh.
Miss Greenwood, I've been thinking it over. I'm sure we can reach a reasonable settlement.
Oh. What'd I tell you, Charlotte?
Oh, you do, huh? Yes.
Well, Mr. Milton, you're as transparent as cellophane. You're as phony as a $7 bill.
I beg your pardon.
You're so flimsy that if you ever got caught in a high wind, you'd find yourself leading the 4th Interceptor Squadron.
Well, I... Now, just a moment. You seem to forget Miss Greenwood's building is on my lot. If I choose, I can take possession of the entire store.
Only the star isn't on your lot.
Absolutely right. There's nothing in the records to show you ever purchased property from Mr. Barton.
That's very easily explained, Judge Cronin. The purchase was a friendly and casual transaction. It was never recorded.
Oh, it wasn't. Well, now you get this, Milton.
But just the same, I have here a bill of sale.
What?
What's that? A bill of sale?
Indeed, I have. Drawn up here in Lakeview on October 3rd, 1914.
Properly signed by Mr. Barton?
Yes, yes. Here. Look it over. I've tried to be reasonable with you people. Now, I'm going to be tough.
Morning, Aunt Charlotte.
Good morning, Barbara. Breakfast will be ready in a minute. Are Jack and Robert up?
Yes, but Jack's still fussing with his tie. He can spend more time in front of a mirror.
Well, every young man has his moments of reflection.
Oh.
You want to set the table?
Oh, yes, of course. Aunt Charlotte.
Hmm?
I've made an awful lot of mistakes.
Barbara, if everybody who ever made a mistake should suddenly evaporate, the population of this world would be practically zero. Put on the cereal bowls, too.
But I've been so selfish. I didn't stop to think about it till... Well, I mean, you were so nice about that evening, Jim. I didn't even thank you.
Don't thank me. It's the sandwich shop that would have paid for it, except...
And it's such a darling, dear.
Except we might not have the sandwich shop anymore.
Not have it? Why, I thought everything was all right.
Oh, it's far from all right. After breakfast, I'm going down to see Judge Cronin. I don't think it'll do much good. You'd better finish setting the table.
Yes, I... Aunt Charlotte, I...
Hmm?
I've changed my mind. That evening dress. Well, with all the old evening dresses I have in the closet, I mean, they're not so old. Some of them are almost new, and I don't care so much for the one we saw at the store anyway.
That's a fib, Barbara.
Oh, no.
A big fib. But it's the nicest fib I ever heard. Only you're still going to have your dress, and we're still going to have the sandwich shop. Somehow... Well, call the boys for breakfast.
Yes? Yes, this is Judge Cronin's office. Cronin speaking. Oh, yes, Mr. Milton.
Milton. Oh, that Milton. If I could take just one...
Mr. Anderson, keep quiet.
No. No, we're still considering. Miss Greenwood is here right now. Yeah, well, isn't that being unnecessarily harsh? Very well, Mr. Milton.
What did he say?
He demands an immediate decision. While we made up our minds, he even wanted to be kept on the line.
Kept on the line? A man like him ought to be kept on a leash.
Well, we can't move the building.
Well, the only alternative, then, is to meet his terms. He's demanding a three-quarter interest in the shop and the management of the business. And I, Miss Greenwood, are you listening to me?
Yes, yes. Go on, Judge.
Well, Charlotte, I'm not posing as a prophet, but I've had a hunch all along the time had come when you'd chuck all this and go back to Hollywood, and I think this is it. Charlotte.
Huh?
Will you stop staring at that picture on the wall and pay some attention?
Yes. As we were saying, it's unfortunate the property transfer wasn't recorded. But that doesn't affect Milton's legal right. He bought the property in good faith on October 3rd, 1914, as the bill of sale shows.
Only the bill of sale is a forgery.
And the mere fact...
What?
Forgery?
What's this?
That's right. That picture on the wall proves it.
Picture on the wall? Cronin, get a glass of water.
No, no. Now, Judge, look. Didn't you say that Mr. Barton was in Europe when the First World War started?
Yes, but I...
And didn't he send you that picture from London at Christmas time?
Why, certainly, only
well,
I...
the First World War started in the summer of 1914.
All right, but
and if Mr. Barton was still in London at Christmas time, as that picture proves, he couldn't have signed a bill of sale here in Lakeview in October 1914.
She's right, Cronin.
Yes, absolutely right. Come to think of it, I have any number of letters and documents to prove Mr. Barton wasn't here. This is amazing.
Well, then, that's settled. I'll run along now and finish my shopping.
Yes, but Miss Greenwood, wait!
Don't you want to be here when we show that chiseler up?
No, you deal with him, boys. The sooner I never see Mr. Milton again, it'll be too soon for me not to meet him. And the better it'll be for both of us when we meet, if we do, if we won't, and we don't, if we won't, and we won't.
Yes, I quite agree with you. Hold on, Mr. Seems to be something wrong with that remark.
Yes, Charlotte, you certainly are far from plain.
Yes.
Boys, you say the nicest things.
Charlotte Greenwood will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, I want to remind you again, the next time you buy a card for any occasion, look on the back for the identifying words, a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Yes, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friend, that misleading bill of sale reminded me of some gossip we occasionally hear. It seemed so right and true at first, but how false it turned out to be. So it's a pretty good idea, I think, to weigh all gossip pretty carefully. Then don't believe it if it applies to either of two kinds of people, strangers and friends. Strangers, because we know them so little. Friends, because we love them so much. And now, until next Sunday, at the very same time, this is Charlotte Greenwood saying,
so long, friends, until we meet again. So long, neighbor, till next Sunday, I'm just saying.
So long.
The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show came to you from Hollywood. This is Wendell Niles speaking. This is the Blue Network. 12:30 at KECA, Los Angeles.